morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, October 30th, 2018. We have 14 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, our small craft advisories continue today. The weather is kind of, it's getting a little bit gnarly out there. At the mouth of the river this morning, let's see, we have a small craft advisory for rough Columbia River Bar right at the mouth of the river this morning and this evening. There'll be a little bit of a break. Weather systems are sort of rolling through, so there we get little breaks between them, as is usual for this time of year. General seas on the Columbia River Bar will be about 10 feet high today. They're going to get a little bit higher than that during those max ebb current times. We have one, maybe about 9:45 this morning, another one. So about every 12 hours, we have a max ebb current period on the Columbia River Bar. And so that's what the special bar forecast is for. Overall, in our general forecast, we have a small craft advisory for hazardous seas today and a gale warning beginning at 5 p.m. today through late tonight. So the wind is going to ramp up out there. With it come the hazardous seas. The wind and the waves go together. So the hazardous seas designation means seas 10 feet or higher out there. So when you consider that 10 feet is about as high as a one-story building, that gives you an idea of the height there. And it's a little bit intimidating when you're out there in those waves. I've been out in about 15-foot waves, swells in the ocean. And it's, you know, when you go down in the bottom of a swell, and that's not a big swell for what people deal with on ships out there, you can't see the horizon for a bit. So it can be a little bit, you have to kind of say, okay, I am coming back up on the next swell. And so it is a little bit of an interesting situation to be on something, on a vessel that is moving that much. And so you get more of a potential for seasickness as those things happen out there. South winds overall in the marine weather forecast of 10 knots, becoming gusting to 30 knots this afternoon. Wind waves from the south 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, but west swells are 10 feet high, 11 seconds apart, and rain later on. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about wind power projects that are proposed for the California coast. But first, let's take a look at our ship schedule for the day. We have 6 inbounders, we have 4 in the Astoria anchorage, and we have 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. The ISS Spirit is a dry bulk carrier arriving from Russia, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She is a wheat ship, and she will probably arrive in the anchorage, any minute now if she's not already out there, 8:39 a.m. She will be there until about 10 o'clock tonight when she will head upriver to Portland to pick up wheat. The Happy Clipper is arriving from China. She's another dry bulk carrier arriving in the anchorage about 12:30. She is another wheat carrying ship, a dry bulk carrier, a handy-sized bulk carrier. Well, actually, she's the old type that was called a Panamax vessel. She's a little bit bigger, about 800 feet long, and 106 feet wide, if I'm remembering correctly, which was in the old Panama Canal. As wide, a ship could not be any wider than that and be allowed through the Panama Canal. Now, with the new expanded locks canal that they built next to the old one, vessels much wider can get through the Panama Canal. So that Panamax definition has changed. But I still remember, you know, back before that old canal was built, the new canal was built, the ships that would come in here that were 106 feet wide were considered Panamax. Rising Sun is our next inbounder from Mexico. She's a potash carrier. She's going to be going up to the Port of Portland to pick up potash. She'll pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m. She'll be headed for the Vancouver anchorage, which is right across the river from Portland, and wait there for a bit until her turn comes up. The TBC Princess is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She will pass Astoria maybe 4:30 p.m. Could be copper concentrate as her cargo to pick up at the Port of Vancouver. The Laurel Ace is a car carrier, I'm not sure exactly where she's. No, she's probably a dry bulk carrier because she's headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's arriving from South Korea anyway, and she'll be here at about 5:30. Any bulk carriers that come in that I'm not sure what they're carrying, my best guess is probably wheat at this time of year. And the Indiana Highway is a car carrier arriving from Japan, headed for the Port of Portland. Toyota's on board. She'll pass Astoria around 8:30 p.m. inbound. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Kypros Sky headed for Kalama to pick up wheat, leaving about, maybe that's tomorrow, about 7 a.m. She'll head out of the anchorage. The Mythos is awaiting orders, as is the Bonanza. The N Bonanza, they're both bulk carriers in the Astoria anchorage. The Bonanza is up by Rice Island there in the anchorage, and they are both wheat ships as well. Headed outbound, the Golden Ayanari is leaving Longview with wheat on board. There's a big wheat depot there at the port of Longview. She left about 5:15 a.m., 5:30 this morning, so about 3 hours later, passing Astoria outbound. So any minute now she could pass Astoria. The Adventure 2 is leaving Portland. Could be wheat on board there as well at about 10 o'clock a.m., so maybe 4 p.m. past Astoria. The Glovis Spirit is a car carrier with brand new Hyundais on board. She is leaving the port of Portland about 6 p.m., so maybe around midnight you might see her running lights going by. And the MG Hammond is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat, or some combination thereof in different cargo holds on board that vessel, leaving around 11 p.m. About 5 hours later, you'll see her pass Astoria outbound. Well, I found this article on gcaptain.com. It has to do with energy and the Trump administration. I thought it was kind of interesting and perhaps unusual, so I want to share it with you. I'll read parts of it to you. The U.S. Department of Interior is taking its first step towards offering federal waters off the coast of California up for lease to offshore wind developers that could result in the first offshore wind farms off the U.S. West Coast. The U.S. Department of Interior's Bureau of Ocean Energy Management last Thursday announced it will publish a call for information and nominations to identify companies interested in commercial wind energy leases within three proposed call areas off Central and Northern California, marking the first step towards offering a location for wind leasing. The three areas include 85 outer continental shelf blocks and 573 partial blocks. I guess those are parcels of the bottom of the ocean that they can lease. Together comprising 1,073 square miles. Two of those areas are located off Morro Bay on the Central Coast, while the third is located in Northern California off Eureka. The call for information and nominations off California was one of three major developments related to U.S. offshore wind energy announced by U.S. Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke last week at the American Wind Energy Association's Offshore Wind Conference. The other two developments included setting a date for a much-anticipated wind auction in federal waters off the coast of Massachusetts, as well as the environmental review of a proposed wind project offshore of Rhode Island. In Massachusetts, there's a date of December 13th to hold the next offshore wind auction, which will offer nearly 390,000 acres offshore Massachusetts available for offshore wind development to the highest bidder. A total of 19 companies have qualified to participate in the auction. And so there's some activity here from the federal government on developing commercial wind farms off the coast in various places off the coast of the U.S., including California. So while these additional offshore wind farms are planned, currently the only commercial offshore wind farm in the United States that's currently operating is off Block Island in the Northeast, Block Island Wind Farm, which operated in late 2016. And so the U.S. Interior Department says the recent developments in offshore wind are part of the Trump administration's all-of-the-above energy policy. However, I was looking up a little bit of documentation in other places on this, and I found an article from the news outlet Axios that basically says that the Trump administration has been very opposed to alternative energy. And so it's kind of a conflicting sort of a thing, depending on what sources you look at. At any rate, this proposal for California has not been evaluated yet for its effect on the ocean ecosystem. I'm sure that fishermen will have some way in on how it will affect fishing grounds. It's a really big area out there. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.